Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Brother Hunter, and tonight's another night that the Lord has allowed us to be back broadcasting, telling you the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the things I want to continue to say that Jesus Christ is soon to come back. I want to press my way in and let those that don't know, let's get on a team together. Let's go and do what God has called us to do. Let's have a prayer. Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you for what you've done for us today. We thank you for what you watched over us, and we thank you for what you've done for us. It is you that we call right now. It's you that we praise. It's you that we love. It's you we adore. And I thank you this night for the things you have done. Looking unto you who is the author and the finisher of my faith. I think it not to be robbery, but I declare I'm with you, Jesus. You said that I have the same position you have. I want to live a righteous, holy, sanctified, unadulterated life before you. I want to call upon your name in the season. I want to call upon your name in the hour. I want to call upon you in your name in the day that my body is leaving this earth. But I want to give you the glory and give you the praise while I still live. I thank you for what you're doing for me right now. I praise you. I adore you. I magnify your name. It is you I love. I want to thank you for those who are yet to come, those who have a desire to serve the true and living God. And I want to thank you, Father, for the revival we're looking for in the month of August. I pray that the anointing will come down like never before. My prayer, my movement is for you, Father. You're the one that I'm loving. You're the one that I'm calling on. I'm asking you tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will open up every door that is before us. Let no door stay closed. For we take the word Jesus said. Jesus said, if we can believe, all things are possible. And Father, I believe in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. In Jesus' name I am. Amen, amen, amen. Hello, Jason.
Amen.
Ready here on there.
Amen.
Amen.
Good evening, Dr. Hunter. How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed. Amen. Well, you got a good shot, so go ahead and stake your case before the high court.
Amen.
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 State your case before the... Amen. So go ahead.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Hunter, for opening this up and inviting the Lord to come in and serve with us this evening. And so, this evening, first, I want to say a grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. For those that are listening, that the peace of God would dwell with you richly. And that that God give us the eyes to see and the ears, most important, to hear of the word that he has for us this evening. I'm going to open with the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 13 through 15 and 22 through 25. I'm open with the Matthew, chapter 19, verses 13 through 15 and 22 through 25. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who calls you holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And a small correction to the opening scripture, what I meant to say was First Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, verses 14 through 19 and verses 22 through 25. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 19 and verses 22 through 25. Amen. Anyway, moving on into verses 23 to 25 says, since you have been purified, since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another reverently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, as all glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass
Amen.
That withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you.
Amen.
You know, there are some things that the average person considers to be holy and sacred. There's things that in our lives, whether you saved or unsaved, we could tend to regard as holy and sacred. Some of those things can be family, those sacred bonds. Careers to some people are sacred and holy to them. They put everything they have in their career. Sometimes it's the trust between friends, that bond between friends where there's a trust factor there that they continue to be considered to be something that's very important, holy and sacred to people. And then some people in sports, some people in other possessions, and I've even met some people, the appearances is a very sacred thing to them. You know, in other words, how they're perceived by others, how they look, what they say, how they dress, their outward appearance to other people and people's perceptions of them is extremely important to them. And so there are lots of things that we can grab onto and hold onto that we value to be so important in our lives, and it's a multitude of things that people would consider to be sacred and holy. But these are just some of those things. Now, why would some of these things be sacred and holy to people? Why would that be the case? Well, some reasons could be that, you know, obviously there's a personal benefit from some of them. You know, some people, they have these things and they have experienced some benefit from regarding them as important and holy and sacred to them. In other cases, some other cases that maybe the thing that they're regarding is a way of them, a method of protecting their field. Like I mentioned earlier, some people consider value very highly their friendship. And so there's a trust factor, and within that trust and that bond of friendship, they're able to open up and trust and know that their feelings and stuff are being protected. And ultimately, one of the main reasons why a lot of these things that are in our lives are considered holy and sacred to us is because there's a perception that this very thing that we have lifted up in our lives is the source of our happiness and fulfillment. So it's lifted up in our lives that there's a perception, I didn't say reality, there's a perception that within us sometimes that the very thing that we are valued as holy and sacred is the source of our happiness and fulfillment, and we will dedicate all our resources, all our strength, and all our lives to pursuing this perception. The reason why many of these things are sacred and holy in our people's lives, and there's a reason why it is, there's a reason why they're holy and sacred in our lives, is because we actively believe and exercise our faith in them. So we are not passive in our pursuit of them, but we are actively believing in those things, and we have faith that they will, that mutual benefit that we have with it, that we will receive the fruits of. But as believers in God, we come to understand, when we come to know Jesus Christ and we're growing our relationship, we begin to realize through his word there's only one thing that should be sacred and holy in our life. There's only one. There's only one. And that is God. That is God. And why is that? Because he is holy. And because God is holy, God calls us to be holy like him. And so this evening, we're going to explore being holy like God. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit this evening. So in 1 Peter, opening scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to take these as always in sections. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to take 14 through 16. And I'm going to read it again. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who calls you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So what is God saying to us through these three verses? What is he saying to us? Well, let's highlight a few things he's saying. Number one, I'm going to take what you take from this. God is holy. Okay, that's spelled out. And we already know that through all the scriptures, but he's spelling out. Apostle Peter spells out. He said, God is holy. The second thing is, because he is holy, God calls us to be holy as he is. God forgives us of our sins, but he expects us to repent of our sins. We have many people, whether it's outside the body of Christ and especially inside the body of Christ, that believe that they can have God, they can have Christ, but remain in practice and sin. You know, you spend enough time within the body of Christ, you have a lot of people believe, you know what, God told me, and, you know, I know he just forgives and he just loves me through this thing, and they believe that they have a license to abuse the gift of grace. And so when we're going to go through here, we go through the scriptures, we're going to understand that, yes, God does forgive us. Yes, he does love us. Yes, there is nothing we can do that's beyond his love and beyond forgiveness. But a part of making things right with God and being and not feeling like we're separated from him is that we have to repent. We have to repent. We have to turn away. We have to practice turning away. We can't be living in active sin. And that's not to say that as believers, there are times when we do fall, we backslide a little bit, and we could be walking in active sin for a while, but it doesn't mean that God isn't there to forgive our sins, because the Bible says he is faithful to forgive our sins. But he requires us to pursue holiness like he is holy, not our own perception of holiness, but like his word says be holy, and repent from the things we're doing. Turn away from those things. One of the best examples of this, which really breaks down this whole belief system that's going on within the body of Christ, that you can just keep practicing and God just don't keep, you know, God just don't, is not concerned about you practicing and you don't have to repent, is the story of the adulterous woman. That's one of the best examples of this message. If you go into the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 3 through 11, and I'm going to read it. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 3 through 11, and we're going to read verse 3. It says, then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such one should be stoned. So what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking of him, he raised himself up, and he said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and said and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Amen. Go and sin no more. See, God is not condemning us for the things that we struggle through, but he calls us to turn from a life of sin, practice sin, to follow him, to get on the path of pursuing holiness. In a relationship with God, there must be an active relationship where confession and repentance from sin is active in our relationship with God. So we know and we've established that God does forgive our sins. You know, 1 John always talks about that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we know that God, there's nothing we can do when He will not forgive our sins, but we also know that we have to repent and turn away from those sins. So now that's the Sabbath, then the question becomes, what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be holy? Well, the command to be holy reveals that God's people are to live differently. Let me say that one more time. Okay, we got a lot of folks out there that believe we should be blending in with the world to reach the world. Let me read this one more time. The command to be holy reveals that God's people are to live differently. Holy means to be set apart, separated from sin, from the natural appetites of worldly lifestyle, blameless and pure. It also reveals that believers are not just set apart from sin, again, through Jesus Christ, that believers are not just set apart from sin, we're also set apart for God, for His use and His glory and pleasure. Amen. Amen. So we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to act different. We're not sinless. Only Jesus was sinless. But we are supposed to be confessing, repentant, and so that way we don't feel separated from Him, because that's what He expects. He expects us to pursue the holiness of His Son. Amen. And so we've established that God forgives us. We confess. We repent. But to be holy is meaning that we've assumed what it says in the Word that sets us aside from people in the world so that we can be effective in our witness. We can be effective by witness. You know, I find it strange sometimes that people that claim to be Christians, but if you look at the fruit in their lives, you couldn't tell the difference between them and someone in the world. And the worst part about that is someone in the world will look at them and say, well, why should I become a Christian? I mean, they do all I'm doing. And that's not what God has asked for us to do. He set us aside as we follow His Son, as we carry the glory of His Son, and we're supposed to be different, even when it's not popular. Amen. So let's move on in the verses that we opened up with. Now we're going to stay in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to move on down to verses 17 through 19. 17 through 19. Verse 17 says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So verse 18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your father. What is this verse saying to us? What is this verse saying? Number one, silver and gold, obviously in the world, are considered very valuable and precious possessions. They're considered very valuable. Mm-hmm. In this scripture, they represent valuable things in the world that the world considers to be valuable. But the point that the Lord is making to us here is that we're not saved by things in the world that are considered a bad. We're not saved by careers. We're not saved by degrees. We're not saved by our talents. We're not saved by our personal influence in society. We're not saved by any of those things. We're saved through the redemption blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is what we're saved. I was in a conversation several weeks ago, and somebody asked me a question and said, well, you know, we got all these things, you know, what we need more, especially after the message, I mean, what we need more is more opportunity, you know, more programs. We need all these different things. And her response bothered me just a little bit, because over these years, we still have things we're struggling with. We still have some areas that we pray that black folks can do a little better at, and some things we wish we had a few more opportunities. But we have a lot more people now today in Africa because they have more degrees, more success, more influence in society, all the different things that those before us that died for. We have a lot more of things. We're not quite where we want to be, but we have definitely made a lot of strides. But yet, with all the accolades and all the worldly possessions and acclaim and everything we have, yet as a people, our morals and our faith in Christ and what is right and true is the constant. is declining. What's the problem with that? What's wrong with that? Well, you know, how can that be? You know, there's a statistic that came out that says 70% of African-American children are born outside the marriage. 70% do not have fathers in the house. But yet we've got all these degrees, we've got all these questions. Don't get me wrong, I have a degree as well. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with prospering. There's nothing wrong with working. But those things don't save us. Those things don't increase us in our relationship with God. Only the blood sacrifice. Because we don't need more opportunity. We need more of Jesus. We don't need more careers. We need more of the righteousness of Christ. Because when our relationship is right with Christ, then those blessings come out of that relationship. That job comes out of that relationship. That career comes out of that relationship. That relationship of love between our families comes out of the relationship of Christ. But what has happened is that we, and a lot of times, not just as African men, but society as a whole, we've lifted up all these possessions like silver and gold in our life. And we said it within ourselves, if we just had more of that, that would save us. But yet our society in the U.S. is declining at a rapid rate. Tell me what's wrong with it. And the reason is that because of the fact those things have become sacred and holy to us as a country. And we're seeing the results of a nation that's becoming more godless by the day, by the week, by the year. And so we have to remember, we're not saved by things in the world that are considered of value, but we're saved by the redemptive blood sacrifice of Christ. He is the center of everything, and he is all that is in our life and should be in our life that is holy and sacred. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, you know, Jesus makes this point. He makes this point that we're not saved by possessions and who are in the world, but by who Jesus is. That's what we're saying. But he makes this point in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Jesus says, and he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Amen. Let's read that one more time. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. So there's nothing wrong with having possessions. There's nothing wrong with, you know, Abraham was one of the richest people ever. He had plenty of possessions. But he always remembered his relationship with God came first. And in his relationship with Jehovah God, out of that relationship came his blessing. Out of that relationship came obedience. Out of that relationship, he took his only son, who was the prophet, his youngest son, he took him up on the mountain of the wilderness, sacrificed him before the Lord. Out of that relationship came an abundant life in God. And so we just need to remember that our life does not consist of the abundance of the things that we possess. Moving on. Verse 2.
Amen.
Chapter 1. We're going to go on down to the last section, verses 22 through 25. And it reads, verse 20 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another reverently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass that withers and its flowers fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. By this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. So, why does God tie our obedience to him to our love for others? Why does he do that? He ties our obedience to him to our love for others. Those are connected. And here it is. A heart that obeys God loves God. And a heart that obeys God can love others as God loves us. You see, a heart that obeys God can love others as God loves us in three ways. Okay? Number one, godly love doesn't love for the purposes of getting something in return. Okay? We don't go in, do it for somebody, love them with an agenda, with hope for something for return. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, do not behave rudely. Speaking of love, love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked and speaks no evil. It does not seek its own. Number two, godly love does not love people who they think things the same way they are. In other words, you have people that say, well, if you love me, you agree with everything I just said. You'll always be in agreement with. Well, that's not love. That's not love. Again, also 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Speaking of love again, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. Amen. Number three, godly love doesn't serve itself before others. It doesn't serve itself before all others. See, we're called to serve others. Okay, it doesn't serve, we don't serve ourselves. We put the needs of others above ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 says, let nothing be done through self-ambition or conceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let's read that one more time. Let nothing be done through self-ambition or conceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Amen. It takes a godly love to be holy as God is holy.
So, amen.
With all that being said, how can we support each other in holy living? Okay? So we're all brothers and sisters. We're all children of God. The Bible tells us that we should not refrain from being in fellowship. We should be in fellowship, holding each other accountable, all these different things. So what are some things we can do to support each other in holy living? Because we need that support. Because we don't always get it right. Sometimes some days are bad. Sometimes it's not something specific that we do, but sometimes we don't really do anything, but our thoughts are crazy all day long. Okay? You just don't know, and we need that fellowship. So God will never put us in a situation where he will have us where we don't need other people. Okay? That's the whole point. You know? And so what are some things we can do and support each other in holy living? Number one, when we read 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4, live out. Live out love. Live it out. Not just be hearers of the word, but be doing. Live it out. Long-suffering with people. Being kind. Observing patience. And all these different things. Live out love, as the word says to people's lives. Number two, hold each other accountable in love. Hold each other accountable. You know, it's good to get together and pray and just love each other. Sometimes the best thing we can do when we sit with our brother is just listen. It's just listen. Yeah, sure, the Holy Spirit might be speaking to us about their lives as they speak. But yet, sometimes we have to learn how to be slow to speak and quick to hear because that's what they need. And then there's other times when we need to be able to sit down one-on-one with someone and say, brother, what you're doing is wrong. And here's why. You know, there's an accountability with that. And so, again, that's one way we can help each other, support each other, and hold it. Okay? And number three, which is very important, which is almost the first step. How can we support each other in holy living? We need to grow in our own personal relationship and look at ourselves regularly in the mirror. Amen. Look at ourselves regularly in the mirror. We need to let God, and when I say look at ourselves in the mirror, we basically what I'm saying is that I'm not saying you look in the mirror and you evaluate yourself. Because the problem is our own self-perception and our own standard can be flawed. No, when we're looking into the mirror, what we really should be doing is we're letting God to continually examine our hearts. We're asking him to examine our hearts and our motives on a regular, everyday, constant basis so that way we can be effective in our witness. A prime example of this is David lays this out in the Psalms before the Lord. He lays this whole concept out of asking God to help to hold the mirror up. God's mirror in front of him and examine him. In Psalm chapter 139, verse 23, David says, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my anxiety, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Amen. And so that's something we need to be doing, is getting before God, not just going in there looking at ourselves, you know, getting praying our relationship, growing our relationship, and in that relationship, while we're talking about other things, we need to be asking God to just hold the mirror in front of us, the Lord just search me. Because anything in me that is unfruitful, Lord, just lay it out and expose it. Because my desire is to grow. But see, that takes humility to do that. But that is a part of the process of pursuing and practicing holy living through the Word. Holy chosen, bond chosen Satan, God calls us to be holy as he is holy. To be as he is, it takes love within us. To receive his godly love within us, it can only come through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is through prayer, reading of his word, because we're sanctified by truth, by his word. Amen. And obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you have to have both. That you can't be saying you follow the Holy Spirit, but you not open the word so you can be sanctified by truth. And then you can't just be reading the word and receiving truth, but you won't obey and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So those are coupled together. So to receive the God, his godly love within us, it has to come through this personal relationship through these things. And through these things, we fill ourselves with the knowledge of God, and to know him more is to grow in loving him more. And the more we love him, the more we can become like him each day in hope. Because that's ultimately his goal. His goal from the time we got saved is to transform us, for us to die to self. And before that time is going to be with him, the whole goal is to transform us so we can look like him. And not like I said when we get saved. What we're really saying is, I take some price and no more. But that's a process. That's a process. But if we embrace that process, we will grow in the knowledge of God. And through growing the knowledge of God, we will grow in the love of God. And in growing in the love of God, through love, we can obey his command and continue to grow in his holiness and his righteousness. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, bless you tonight, Brother Jason. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his peace be upon you. For every one of us listening, we need to live a H-O-L-Y-L-I-F-E.
Amen. God bless you too, Dr. Hunter. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. And tell everybody hello, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hello, Dr. Newsom. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How you doing, Apostle?
I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm ready for you. I'm ready for you to roar. Go ahead and roar a little.
All right. I tell you, God is good.
Tonight
I'll be coming out of Joshua, Dr. Hunter. Joshua chapter 6, and I'll be reading verse 6, and I'll be reading verse 11. The message God has given me is be strong, saints. Be strong. Be strong. The scripture says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. You know, God, he swears to give us an inheritance. He has an inheritance for us. He has land. He has a power. He has possessions. He promises to be our God. All of this is our inheritance. But I was reading, Dr. Hunter, throughout the Bible, from the New Testament, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You hear God say, you hear Yahweh say a number of times, you hear him say, be strong.
Be strong.
Be strong.
Be strong.
Be strong.
Be
you
strong.
Hear him say that a number of times. Be strong. Chazak. Chazak is the Hebrew word, and it means to be strong. It means to grow strong. It means to become mighty. So throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New, you hear God saying, Chazak. You know, there used to be a cartoon years ago. I don't know if it was they said Kazam or Shazam, but they when they wanted power, they used to say Shazam. It was on a cartoon. But this word is Chazak. Chazak. And so when the Hebrews hear God saying Chazak, what he's saying is be strong. Be strong. He said the same thing to Job. I said be strong no matter what's going on in your life.
Be strong.
You could have a legitimate excuse. Things could really be hard and tough in your life. But God never tells his people to go ahead and whine, go ahead and complain. No, go ahead and give up. God never tells his people that. He tells his people chazak, and it means to be strong. Be strong. He said that to Job. You remember Job? And Job had balls from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet.
Amen.
This man was in such pain and agony, he would sit down in ashes, and he would wear sackcloth, and he would scrape his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Dr. Hunter, with broken pieces of pottery.
Yes.
And he lost his children. He lost his animals. He lost his crop.
He did.
He lost his servant, and then he began to ask God questions. He began to question God because he was going through such agony and pain. He began to question God, and it would seem like, what God wouldn't mind. It would seem like God would say, "Oh, that's okay, Job. You do have sores from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet." But God, Yahweh, didn't tell Job that. You know what Yahweh told Job? Yahweh told Job, gird up your loins and act like a man.
Act like a man.
Gird up your loins and act like a man. He didn't pat Job on the back and say, "Oh, that's okay. I know you're going through." No, he said, gird up your loins and act like a man. In other words, he said, chazak, chazak. He told Job to be strong, act like a man. In our day and time, Apostle, in our day and time, we might say something like this, man up.
Man up.
Man up.
Man up, man.
Man up, man. Yeah, man up, man. Amen, man up. You know what, even Yeshua said it like this. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulations.
Oh, yeah.
But he said what? But be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer.
For I've overcome the world. In other words, he was saying, be of good courage. He was saying what? Man up.
Man up.
Yeshua was saying, be strong. That's what Yeshua was saying. He was saying, be strong. He said, I've overcome all the trouble in this world, and you will too. But man up.
Man
be strong. And that's the word that God laid on my heart to share with the listening audience tonight. An encouraging word. God says, man up. Gird up your loins and act like a man. Be strong. Chazak. Chazak. He says, because I have before you an inheritance. I got things for you. I got an inheritance for you, but the only way that you're going to be able to possess what I have for you is you got to be strong. Chazak. You got to be strong.
That's
the first thing he told the people to do. I got this land for you now, and you know what? I want you to gather your provisions and get ready to cross this Jordan and go over there and possess it. But the first thing he told them to do was to chazak. Be strong. We can't obtain the promises of God if we're not strong. We can't obtain or possess the promises of God, the things that he has for us without being strong. We've got to be strong in order to get it. You're not going to get it if you're not strong. Chazak, God says. Yahweh says, chazak, be strong. And that's the word Yahweh gave me to give to you today.
Amen.
Be strong. And he said it from the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Amen.
He was telling his people to be strong. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Chazak. Chazak.
Chazak.
Chazak. Be strong.
Be strong.
2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 7. Here he says, Chazak again, which means be strong in the Hebrew. He says in 2 Chronicles 15 verse 7, he says, be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded.
Amen.
God says, I'm going to reward your work. Might look like you're not going to get paid, but you shouldn't be going on how things look anyway. God is not a man that he should lie. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. It might not look like you're being paid right now, but he says that Yahweh says that if you be strong and strengthen your weak, feeble hands. Be strong, for your work shall be rewarded. When
reward.
You see that word shall in the Bible, you ought to underline that, because when you hear God say shall, he's making a promise to you. In other words, he's saying, I promise, I'll reward you. I just want you to be strong.
That's it.
Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. God's going to pay you. He's going to pay you. All you have to do is continue to be strong, and he is going to pay you. Guarantee, that's a promise. First Kings chapter 2. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 2. The message is be strong, saints. Be strong.
Be strong.
1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. In other words, he's saying, Solomon, I'm getting ready to die. And look what he told Solomon to do. He says, be thou strong, therefore. But Daddy, you're getting ready to die. Solomon could have said that. Daddy, you're getting ready to die. But David said, Solomon, be strong.
Be strong.
Be strong. That's what David told his son Solomon before he died. He said, be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. In other words, act like a man. Good God Almighty.
Yeah, man.
He said, man up. I'm getting ready to die, but I want you to be strong. I want you to act like a man.
Amen.
He didn't tell him to go ahead and whine and suck and be, you know, what miserable. You know what, for the rest of your life. No, he didn't say that. He said, be strong, therefore, and act like a man. Show thyself a man. And then he goes on to say, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest, or wherever you go. He said, be strong and just continue to walk according to the word of God, that you shall prosper wherever you go. And in verse 4, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. I got three ways that we can be strong. Three ways to be strong. Number one, we got to walk before God in truth. Walk before Yahweh, the only true living God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Walk before Yahweh, Yud Hey Vav Hey. Walk before the only true living God in truth. scripture says that those who worship him, apostles, what does that scripture say? Those who worship Yahweh must worship him.
In spirit and truth.
In spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So you can't be strong if you're walking according to a lie.
Uh-huh.
You can only be strong if you're walking according to the truth. That's the way of the world today. That's what's happening. That's why it's a meltdown taking place in America today. It's because, you know what, the government and all these, a lot of people, they want to walk according to a lie. They want to walk according to the lie, and they think everything's going to be all right, and they think they're going to be strong. No, you're weak when you walk in a lie.
The walk in a lie. You got
when
it
you
right.
Walk according, when you walk according to the truth, then you'll be strong. You know what the government says, you know what, whatever we say that's right, and when we make it a law, then it's all right for you to do it. If you're a man and you want to marry another man, you know what, that's all right. It's legal. You can do it. Oh, yeah, but you're going to be weak. You're going to be weak. You're not going to be strong. You know what? They're legalized women. It's all right for women to marry women. Well, that might be all right for the government, but that's a lie. That's not the truth. You're going to be weak. So the whole nation is weakening and getting weaker and weaker, the government, the nation, because they refuse to walk according to the truth. They'd rather walk according to a lie. If you want to be strong, if you want your family to be strong, if you want your ministry to be strong, if you want your business to be strong, if America, if any nation is going to be strong, they have to walk according to the truth.
Preach.
And that's the word of God.
Preach.
That's the word of God. Don't worry about what people say. Walk before God in truth.
Yes.
Don't worry about how people feel about you. You just continue to walk before God in truth. The scripture clearly lets us know that God rejoices when we walk in truth. He rejoices when we obey his word. The scripture tells us over in Job, if we obey and serve him, we'll spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasures. The scripture tells us in Isaiah, over in Isaiah, he said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. The scripture tells us in Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will seek my face, turn from their evil ways, and pray. What do you say? I'll hear their prayer from heaven. I'll forgive them for their sins, and I'll heal their land. He's talking about walking in what? Truth. When we walk before God in truth, we'll be strong. We'll be a strong people. We'll have a strong family. We'll be a strong nation.
Amen.
Yeah. To be strong, we got to walk in truth. That's why the Bible tells, we got to rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide it. Rightly divide the word. You got so many ministers in the church today. You know, I know we got a lot of ministers. They love God and all that. They love God, and that's the most important thing, and they want to say what God says. But you got too many people that'd rather be cute than correct.
Get out of Dodge City. Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Yahweh wants us to be correct, not cute, but correct. He wants his people to walk in truth, rightly dividing the word of God. That means that if there's a right way, then there's a wrong way. He wants us rightly dividing his word, rightly explaining his word, rightly teaching his word, rightly preaching the word, rightly living according to his word, not making up our own way. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but it leads to destruction, the Bible says. We've got to walk before Yahweh in truth.
Truth.
In truth. And that's how we become strong. The scripture over in Ephesians. Look at over in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians. Be strong, saints. Be strong. If we're going to be strong, we got to walk before God in truth. Before him in truth. The scripture says over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. The scripture says, finally, my brethren, be strong. There it is right there again. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, you hear God telling his people to be strong. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he goes on to tell you to put on the armor, and it tells you the different pieces of the armor, you know, the different parts of the armor. And it all boils down to this, Bible knowledge, walking according to truth. Walking according to truth. The armor is Bible knowledge. Walking according to truth. That's all the armor is, Bible knowledge. Bible knowledge, walking before God in truth. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's Bible knowledge. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's Bible knowledge. And your foot shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's Bible knowledge. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, Satan. That's Bible knowledge. And take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's Bible knowledge.
Yes.
So we need to put on the whole armor, walk before God in truth. Which, be strong, saints. How can you become strong? Number one, by walking before God in truth. Number two, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be strong if you're afraid. Don't be afraid.
That's what
God is saying. Don't be afraid. You got to know God's going to help me. God's going to save me. So don't be afraid. You being afraid after God telling you he's going to help you, you're like calling God a lie. That's weak. That's weak. God says be strong. You can't be strong and afraid at the same time.
Yeah.
The scripture says over in chapter 35, verse 4, he says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, here it is again, Chazak, be strong. There it is again. It's all throughout the Bible, God telling his people to be strong. See, because he knows that's the only way that you're going to get your inheritance. That's the only way you're going to obtain the promises of God. The only way you're going to do that is you've got to be strong. He says, say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Good God Almighty. He's the God of our salvation.
Yes.
He is the God of our salvation. Yeshua, the Aramaic, that's Jesus' name in Aramaic Hebrew, with Aramaic and Hebrew are very, they're kin to each other, they're very close to each other, and it means he will save. He will save. That's his name, Yeshua. So when you say Yeshua, what are you saying? You're saying he will save. He will save. Be strong.
Yes.
You know that's what he come to do. He come to save you.
Amen.
Look at Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, either we're going to believe Yahweh is going to help us and strengthen us or save us or not. There is no in-between. Either we're going to walk by faith or we're going to walk by flesh. Which one is it? Are we going to walk by faith or are we going to walk by flesh? Are we going to walk by faith or are we going to walk by how we feel and what we believe and what we think? No, we need to walk by faith. And you can be in faith and be afraid at the same time.
I hear you.
If you're afraid, you're counseling out faith, and you're not pleasing God.
No.
The scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that it's impossible to please him without faith.
It's impossible.
You can't be in fear and faith at the same time.
Woo!
Be strong, saints.
Strong.
Be strong.
Be strong.
God wants to see his children strong. Walk before God in truth, and don't be afraid. He'll help you. He'll save you. And number three, my final point, serve.
Serve.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Not madness and sadness, but with gladness. Serve him. He'll make you strong if you just serve him. He'll help you to be strong if you just serve him. Look what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. He will make you become strong if you serve him. I found out that the Bible says, Yeshua said, that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the servant.
Amen.
As you serve him, he'll cause you to become stronger and stronger and stronger. As you serve him, don't go on your feelings. Go on how things look. Walk before God in truth. Don't be afraid and serve him. Be strong, saint.
Strong.
Serve him. You need to be focusing on serving God, not being afraid. You need to be focusing on serving him and walking before him in truth. You need to focus on that. The scripture says, look what Paul, I love Paul. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, look what he said. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Yes. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, he's serving. The Apostle Paul is serving, but now he has a thorn in the flesh, and this thorn of the flesh is Satan buffeting him. It's a demon harassing him, Everywhere Paul went to try to preach and teach the word and set up churches, man, there was always a devil popping up trying to hinder him and stop him. So he was saying to himself, Paul was saying, Lord, if you just take away this thorn, I'll be able to serve you better. I'll be able to serve you more. I'll be able to serve you in a better way. But look what the scripture goes on to say. For this thing I besought the Lord twice, three times, that it might depart from me. Man, I tell you, Paul began to ask Yeshua, take this thorn away from me. Stop Satan for harassing me. I'm doing your work, Lord. Keep this devil off of me. This devil is attacking me, and I'm trying to serve you. But look what Yeshua said in verse 9. Yeshua said to Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, good God Almighty, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, as long as you're serving me, Paul, this is what Yeshua is telling Paul. Paul, you just serve me. You just serve me. I know it seems like you're being hindered and you're weak and all that, but in actuality, you're strong. You're strong.
Strong.
You're strong when it seems like you're weak. You're strong. I make you strong in your weakness. Look what he says. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Good God Almighty. Paul says, you know what, God? You're right. I feel your power on me, even though they're trying to beat me to death and they're stoning me and trying to run me out of town. But I feel your power on me, God. I feel you making me become stronger. I'm serving you, and you're making me stronger. You might think that all hell is coming against you, but the word of God lets us know that, hey, when you are weak, then are you strong. God makes you become stronger as you just continue to serve him. Regardless of what's coming up against you, just serve him. He's going to make you strong. Look at verse 10. Therefore, Paul said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Oh.
Paul was saying, I recognize that when all hell coming against me, I recognize that God makes me strong as I'm serving him.
Amen.
As you're serving him, child of God, God will make you become strong. As you're serving him, it might look like everything is coming against you and falling down around you, but it's not. God's making you stronger. Well, his presence is on you. His power is upon you. You just continue to serve him. Be strong, saints.
Strong.
How can you become strong? Walk before God in truth.
Amen.
Don't be afraid and serve Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Serve Him.
Apostle. Then whoop the devil backwards and forward. Good God Almighty.
Glory to God.
Yeshua, how much?
Glory to God.
Oh, praise God. Tonight I just want to say thank you, brother. The peace of God be upon you. Until next time, I'll talk with you later. All right. God bless you now.
All right. God bless you too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
This is Pastor Paul. It's such a joy to be able to fellowship with you by means of this special generational prayer. And I know that as we release the blessing, as we release the anointing, and as we come against the generational curses and those things that Satan has tried to represent in your life as that which will always be a hindrance, whether it is a spiritual legacy or a physical legacy or an emotional legacy that has been passed down from generation to generation, I want you to know that the Spirit of God is about to move in an awesome way, that there is about to be a release of God's delivering power, and that there is about to be a release of covenant anointing into your life. And as we prepare to pray right now, I want you to open your heart, and I want you to allow the Spirit of the Lord, just allow the Spirit of God to flood your life, to penetrate every area of your soul that the enemy has tried to bring the curse and has tried to bring the bondage to. And I know that as we pray and agree together, you're going to feel that release in your spirit. You're going to feel strongholds beginning to come down. You're going to feel an anointing begin to fill those areas of your life where there has been lack and where there has been dysfunction. I want you to get ready to receive. And we're just going to create an atmosphere of worship and praise right now. So open your heart. Prepare to receive the generational blessing. Above every name, the name of Jesus, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I come to you now, knowing that in your name there is power, knowing that in your name there is deliverance, knowing that in your name there is freedom. I bring to you now every generational curse and every generational pattern of dysfunction and behavior that the enemy has tried to perpetuate through family bloodline. I bind the hand of the enemy and I curse them back to hell, and I decree that there will be a release of God's healing power, of God's delivering power. Heavenly Father, first of all, I come before you asking that physical legacies be broken. God, that infirmity that is passed through families, health problems that have run in generations, I decree now that there will be a release of generational blessing for healing. I come against high blood pressure. I come against glaucoma. I come against sugar diabetes. I come against strokes. I come against lupus. I come against sickle cell. I come against Parkinson's disease. I come against Alzheimer's. I come against every inherited, every passed down infirmity. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I decree that the 39 stripes that you took on your back shall be for a release of generational healing. Father, I decree that these infirmities shall not visit the next generation. I decree that there will be a healing, that there will be a breaking of the curse, that the cycle will be broken in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Lord, I lift it up to you now, and I decree that there will be a touch, there will be a move, there will be a healing, there will be a deliverance in the name of Jesus. I decree it now, and I call it done. I decree that healing. I decree that anointing that destroys that physical legacy that is passed down through bloodlines. I bind it in Jesus' name, and I decree the healing power. Lord, I thank you that bodies are being healed, that even babies who are still in the womb, who would ordinarily come out suffering, I decree that they are healed now, and that they will be born healthy, and future generations shall come forth, and there shall be no sign, no sign of the generational curse that has been in previous generations. I speak this into the realm of the Spirit, and I decree that there will be a release of that generational blessing now. In the name of Jesus, I destroy physical legacies that have been a curse, and I release the generational blessing of physical restoration in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Father, I love you.
Now, Lord, I lift up to you. I lift up to you every spiritual legacy, every generational curse of spiritual legacy that has been passed down. I come against witchcraft. I come against sorcery. I come against those that have dealt with psychics and those who have worked with witchcraft. I bind the powers of hell that have tried to bring a curse in the mind, that have come against the image of self-esteem. I bind the hand of the enemy. I come against the legacy of every relative that has dealt with horoscopes, that has dealt with Ouija boards, that's dealt with any kind of unclean idolatry, and I bind it in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the spirit of fear. I take authority over the spirit of inadequacy. I take authority over the spirit of condemnation. And I decree that there will be a release now in the name of Jesus. Oh, that which I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and that which I loose in the earth is loose in the heavens. I decree that there will be a release of the anointing in the realm of the spirit. God, that your people will not be bound by the transgressions of previous generations. God, you said that even to the fourth generation under the old covenant, that the sins of the father would be visited to that fourth generation. You declared that there would be no Moabite who could come into the house of the faithful for at least 10 generations. But Ruth rose up and she broke that curse, and she declared to Naomi, she said, listen, your God shall be my God, and your people shall be my people. God, I decree now that whatever curses and whatever spiritual dysfunction, whatever spiritual legacies have negatively impacted your people from previous family members, I decree that that bondage is broken now. And I decree that there will be a liberty and a deliverance in the Holy Spirit. God, even those things that we were not aware of, God, relatives who dabbled in the occult, those who walked in mysticism, and even those who dabbled in spiritualism, God, I decree that there will be a breaking of those curses, that there will be a binding of unclean spiritual influences. I also come against territorial spirits that control areas and that cause people in certain areas to react in certain ways. I come against it now in the name of Jesus. I decree that no matter the territorial spirit, even as you sent Michael and you delivered unto him the message of power that Daniel received, that the prince of the angels that Michael would war with the prince of Grecia and then with the prince of Persia, I decree that there will be a deliverance from the power of territorial and controlling spirits. God, I decree in homes and marriages that there will be a deliverance now. God, spiritual dysfunction where homes and marriages are unequally yoked. God, where husbands and wives are not walking in the unity of the faith, I come against that spirit. I come against that inequality. God, I decree that there will be a healing and there will be a restoration in homes and families. Satan, you hear my voice. As a prophet of God, I have power over you, and I bind you. I curse you, and the blood of Jesus Christ is against you now. And I decree that there will be a breaking of spiritual influences. There will be a destruction of spiritual strongholds in the name of Jesus, that the actions of previous generations will not be allowed to keep us in spiritual bondage. I come against every unclean witchcraft, idolatrous influence. And I decree that there is deliverance now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I decree that that deliverance is complete and that the glory of your anointing is setting our spirits free. For your word says, he whom the Son makes free, surely he is free indeed. And now we give you the glory for spiritual legacies, for spiritual legacies being broken, for spiritual curses being broken. And now, Lord, I lift up to you even emotional legacies. God, some of us come from families where dysfunction is the norm. We come from families where arguing and lack of communication is standard procedure. But in the name that is above every name, I bind those spirits and I bind those influences. I decree to your people now that patterns of dysfunction, patterns of sexual dysfunction, even some have been molested as children and they've grown up with a distorted view of sexuality. They've grown up lacking trust. I come against those strongholds now, and I decree that those emotional legacies will not carry to the next generation, and that your people are being healed and delivered now. God, I give you the glory and I give you the praise that even now there is a release coming, even of hurtful memories, of traumatic incidences that have been seared in the memory. Oh, your word says you make all things new, and I decree now that there will be a release, that there will be a cleansing of the memory, and that the hurt and the pain and the tragedy of those moments will be washed away by the soothing balm of Gilead. But does not your word say that there is a balm in Gilead for the healing, for the breach of your people? And I decree that release now in the name of Jesus, that every social and emotional legacy will be broken. I come against patterns of dependency, drug addiction, those that are bound by alcohol, those that are bound by gambling, those that are bound by pornography and sexual perversion. I decree there is a deliverance. I decree that there is a release now, that the bondage is broken. Oh, again, your word declares that the yoke of bondage is destroyed because of the anointing. I give you the praise and I give you the glory that emotional legacies are being broken, that even now the freedom of your spirit, the glory of your anointing, is breaking anxiety. It's breaking mindsets that have kept us in bondage. And I decree now that the majesty of your glory, that your power, that your anointing will surround us and flood our lives. Lord, I thank you that from generation to generation, your word is new, your word is fresh, and your tender mercies are fresh and new every morning. And I decree that the future generations, there shall be blessing. I come against even the emotional and family legacy of poverty and dysfunction in marriage, God, where there have been numerous marriages. I decree that that curse and that cycle is broken. I come against all dependencies, even to prescription medication. I come against it now. And I decree that there will be a deliverance, and I decree that there will be a liberty. God, some of us grew up in homes and families where people cursed and argued. There was never any affection, and now we've grown up with sexual problems, sexual frustrations, and we're unable to express ourselves sexually, even in our marriages, even with our spouse, because of that legacy that has been handed down emotionally. But I decree that this shall be a day of healing, that this shall be a day of deliverance, that this shall be a day of breakthrough, that the power of the enemy is broken now. God, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we just lift your name on high. Because we know that the generational blessing is being released to your people now, that the glory of your anointing is touching their lives. God, they will look back as they listen to this again and again, and the anointing that is released now, the glory that is released now. Oh, God, I thank you. They're going to experience it over and over and over again, and I thank you now that even the joy of the Lord, that even the power of your Spirit is ministering to them now. Lord, we lift your name. We magnify you now. And we give you the glory because we know that the work is done in the heavens and it's going to be manifested in the natural. God, we thank you that the bondages are broken. We thank you. Oh, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. And we release that generational blessing. We decree wholeness. We decree abundance. We decree healing. We decree prosperity. We decree gifts and callings shall be manifested in your people, that your name might be glorified, that the kingdom of God might go forth. Oh, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I magnify you now because you are the King of glory. You are the King of glory. And I say that there is none above you. You share your glory with none else. You truly are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the fairest of 10,000. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. And we call it done. Would you just rejoice with me now? Would you bask in that anointing? Just let the wave of glory sweep your soul. Oh, who can compare? There is none like him. Don't you feel his presence right now? Can't you feel his anointing? Can't you feel that glory? Receive this blessing now and know that generational blessing are upon you, upon your children, upon your children's children, and as many as the Lord thy God shall call. God bless you. I love you. In the name of Jesus, be blessed is my prayer.
Matthew 8:1-3. And having come down from the mountain, great crowds followed Jesus. And behold, a leper, having come, fell upon his knees and touched the ground with his forehead in an expression of profound reverence before him, saying, Master, in the event that you may be having a heartfelt desire, I know you're able to cleanse me. And having stretched out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I am desiring it with all my heart. Be cleansed at once. And immediately, his leprosy was cured by being cleansed away. Healing is not just an afterthought for the Lord. He is desiring to heal you with all his heart. Today, we're the same as this leper, saying, Lord, I know you can heal me if you want to, but do you really want to? He is wanting to heal you with all his heart. God wants to heal everyone, just as he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, you have said, listen closely to your words, not to let them out of my sight, not for a moment, to keep them within my heart, because they are life when I find them and health to my whole body. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. You will bring me help and cure, and will cure me, and will reveal unto me the abundance of peace and truth. Is not your word like a fire, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?
Hey, how you doing there, man?
The word of God. Is an all-consuming
Do you hear me, Butler?
that will melt away and burn off
the
not of God.
Yeah, what's happening?
What's going on, man? Let me shut this down.
I'm listening to somebody talk.
That's what I always play. I'm playing when I take it off. Give me a few minutes.
Within me, hope in God, for you will yet praise him.
All right. Tell me about it, brother. Now that I've got that radio program.
Huh? Amen. Yeah, I was just calling. I didn't press the one because I just wanted to, I was reviewing what you was going over and what was being said. Hello?
And if I ask anything according to
your okay.
Now, is this you and I?
Yeah, so
well, I tell you, God has been good tonight. God has been good tonight. I've had two ministers come on this morning at 7 o'clock. One come on at 7 o'clock to 7:30 to 7:30 o'clock. And I'm just looking for men and women who want to be on the radio station, not to do what they want, but to do God's will. And I'm finding many coming and many are not, but I know this much, and I know that I have dependence upon you, and I just love God for what you're doing. Somebody, see, we're going around the world while you're on this blog talk radio, and it blessed me to know that there are people out there that need to know Jesus Christ.
Yes,
see,
yes.
See, you and I know that we live in a state of emergency all the time. If it ain't this, it's that. If it ain't that, it's this. And we just have to pray for the people. Amen.
Hey, do you have a delay?
No, that's you. That's not me. No, mine is...
Myself.
Okay, I know what's happening. You got a feedback. Are you on the speaker?
Yeah.
That's why. You're getting it. If you're getting on the speaker, you're getting the feedback. Because I got my...
Okay.
I got mine up to... Okay. But give me a word we can talk about tonight while we're on the radio.
Okay, what you say you want me to do?
I said, let's talk about the word. Let's talk about what's next in our lives, what we need to do for the next movement of God.
Well, it's quite a bit yet to be done. Through the Christians here in America, especially here in Harris County, Houston, Texas. And, you know, I did a message on Sunday. You know, I'm one of the associate ministers over there. You know, we don't preach every Sunday, but pastor gives an opportunity to preach. And when we do, I let the Holy Ghost lead me on to what needs to be said at that particular time, that particular group of people.
Amen.
And I came from Exodus 13:2. Micah 4:13, Joel 9:15, First Chronicles 29:5, and 1 Kings 9:3, and it all was dealing with consecration. And what is consecration, and why do I need to be consecrated? Consecrate myself by or to God. That's what the name is. Yep. And then it went on, I went on into the various points of it. You know, say in the birth of a child is exciting and happy event for everybody.
Everybody.
You have your first child, second child, or third child.
Yeah.
And we all recognize it. Say in the beginning of the new life, we never say it is and it is conclusion. And then further on, it's the same with us believers. Now, believers,
believe.
I've been saved and born again with the life of God.
Amen.
It's truly wonderful and joyful. But
yes, it is.
It's not the conclusion.
It's not the conclusion.
You see, our regeneration is only the beginning of a spiritual journey.
That's it.
Being born again.
Yeah.
And just as a baby needs to grow.
Yes.
And develop.
Yes.
We Christians need to move forward step by step after we are regenerated. You know, a baby cannot grow without no milk. That's the first thing you put on. You can't come in and bring no hard food to it. You have to give him milk. You have to give him milk.
Amen.
And the next step of spiritual long life journey is to present or give ourselves to the Lord.
To the Lord. Hey.
This is to consecrate ourselves to him. Put yourself in a position to do that. If you really know Jesus Christ, but you have to do it within your heart and your spirit.
That's it.
What do consecration mean? Do anybody know? Have an idea? The word consecration is a commonly used word, but even so, we might have existing concept about what it means.
Amen.
In the church organization or religious organization, the word means consecration has been revealed in relationship with official ordination of preachers, priests, and missionaries. That's the full body of a church when they go and when they ordinate somebody. And that's it. But the real consecration is when you're being consecrated with Jesus Christ.
Cut apart.
Just like you touch your child or your wife.
Yes.
You do Jesus Christ the same way. Bring him into you fully.
Yes.
Nothing else on your mind and your spirit. And be consecrated with him. He allows you to do that.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen. I hear you, butler. I hear you, Reverend Butler.
Yeah. This is why the consecration is for a special category of people. But the consecration revealed.
Amen.
In the New Testament, believers of Christ, not something only for knowledge, but Christian or spiritual mature ones. In fact, is well seen and cannot be subjected now to the life of Christ. In us, we reach spiritual maturity. Without consecrating ourselves to the Lord, this becomes a consecration to the basis for every spiritual experience. And then you can go down, Paul says in Romans 2 and 1, I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion of God, through the presence of your body, in a living sacrifice. We should sacrifice ourselves.
Yes.
Holy, well-pleasing to God, quick, reasonable service.
Yes.
Okay? Huh? Do it make sense? Now, do the person, the people that are listening to this at this particular time, have you ever considered consecrating your spirit to God?
Yes.
Have you ever tried it? It is a wonderful thing. That's just like you've been in the bosom of Jesus Christ. That's how close you need to concentrate yourself with him.
Yes.
In his bosom.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I even went down to the front and said, oh, I got four reasons why we should consecrate ourselves to God, to the Lord. So we can walk in his Lord's way. Walk in Jesus' way. Walk in Christ's way. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those three things. Before we say we walk our own way. We did what we wanted to do.
Yes.
Made our own decision.
Yes.
What and how you want to do it. But did you choose our own direction? But after we were saved, listen, bro, after we were saved, God wants us
to walk in His way.
His way.
Good God of life.
My God. Oh, I hear you, Reverend Butler. I hear you, Reverend Butler.
Yes, sir. So, I'll stop at that, and I got a lot more to say about it, but hey, I'll stop
but
at that.
You know what I want to do? You know what I want to do? I want to let you know that I don't see you and you don't see me, but I have a radio station right here. And you hooked up, we hooked up, and we're giving God the glory. We're giving God the glory. And one of the things I was reading in my study, I was studying, Jesus asked Peter a question. He said, who do you say I am? He says, but who do you say I am, Peter? And Peter said, you are the Son of God. He said, what? He said, blessed are you, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. So when I took your notes, number one, walk Jesus' way. When you walk Jesus' way, you walk consecrated.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, my brother, I'm not going to hold you. I thank God for you. But I got your email. I'm going to send you something because I'm looking to have a great revival in this city of Houston. And I want it to happen right here in the middle of 4501 Laurie Copper. I want to see it happen. It will happen. Because there are believers that can come together. And I know what God is getting ready to do. He's doing it. And every time we look and see, Butler, we see things all of a sudden. What's happened over there in Israel? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Like I told some people, I said, let me tell you something. The Bible tells you and I, pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And because what is happening over there, I'm going to say this, because went back to the old script and we looked in the Old Testament when Moses, the God came to Moses and Moses, we found this man doing this, he wasn't supposed to do it. He went to God and God said what to do was to kill them all. See, God, he's to kill them all. And somebody said, oh, y'all not talking like this. I'm talking God talk. The enemy is trying to step in our way. If he's in somebody, get him out of the way. The time is ours now, Butler. It's ours. It belongs to us. I like what you said. You said, when the child comes, we watch it grow up. We get excited as it grows. We should get excited. We should get excited. Because the more excited we get, the more we see that we have a consecrated, hallelujah, a consecrated, a walk that is structured, a walk that is solid, a walk that's holy, a walk that's full of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that you stay on that. I said this many times. When you stay the course, you can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong. Hallelujah. Well, I want to thank you for being on the radio with me tonight, my brother, and I'm not going to hold you. And I want to thank God for you, and the peace of God be with you. And we'll be getting together very shortly. I'm going to send you an email out later on to you, and you can see it, and you call. You can send me back and tell me what you think about it, okay?
All right, my brother. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you. God bless you, and tell your wife and all hello, okay?
All right, I will.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This is Pastor Paul. It's such a joy to be able to fellowship with you by means of this special generational prayer. And I know that as we release the blessing, as we release the anointing, and as we come against the generational curses and those things that Satan has tried to represent in your life as that which will always be a hindrance, whether it is a spiritual legacy or a physical legacy or an emotional legacy that has been passed down from generation to generation, I want you to know that the Spirit of God is about to move in an awesome way, that there is about to be a release of God's delivering power, and that there is about to be a release of covenant anointing into your life. And as we prepare to pray right now, I want you to open your heart, and I want you to allow the Spirit of the Lord, just allow the Spirit of God to flood your life, to penetrate every area of your soul that the enemy has tried to bring the curse and has tried to bring the bondage to. And I know that as we pray and agree together, you're going to feel that release in your spirit. You're going to feel strongholds beginning to come down. You're going to feel an anointing begin to fill those areas of your life where there has been lack and where there has been dysfunction. I want you to get ready to receive. We're just going to create an atmosphere of worship and praise right now. So open your heart. Prepare to receive the generational blessing. Above every name, the name of Jesus, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I come to you now, knowing that in your name there is power, knowing that in your name there is deliverance, knowing that in your name there is freedom. I bring to you now every generational curse and every generational pattern of dysfunction and behavior that the enemy has tried to perpetuate. Family bloodline.
I said I want to be a part of
that. I bind the hand of the enemy and I cast them back to hell. And I decree that there will be a release of God's healing power, of God's delivering power. Heavenly Father, first of all, I come before you asking that physical legacies be broken. God, that infirmity that has passed through families, health problems that have run in generations. I decree now that there will be a release of generational blessing for healing. I come against high blood pressure. I come against glaucoma. I come against sugar diabetes.
Okay, now, what are you saying, beloved? Okay. What do I need to do?
Have your first name?
Willie J. Hunter.
Willie J. Hunter?
Yes.
Is that your zip code?
77050. It's in Houston, Texas. Yes, ma'am.
Phone number 281-449-5403.
Yes, and let me give you my cell phone, 832-242-8620.
And your email address is lilyjhunter@yahoo.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Allah, Ali, Allah, 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 Ali, Allah, Allah, Ali, Allah, 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 Ali. Praise
you. Okay, sir. I will speak to you. Thank you for calling the fellowship.
Okay, God bless you. Oh, what I'll have to do is dial the same number? That wasn't happy.
I destroy physical legacies that have been a curse, and I release the generational blessing of physical restoration in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Father, I love you. I love
again. Now, Lord, I lift up to you. I lift up to you every spiritual legacy, every generational curse of spiritual legacy that has been passed down. I come against witchcraft. I come against sorcery. I come against those that have dealt with psychics and those who have worked with witchcraft. I bind the powers of hell that have tried to bring a curse in the mind, that have come against the image of self-esteem. I bind the hand of the enemy. I come against the legacy of every relative that has dealt with horoscopes, that has dealt with Ouija boards, that's dealt with any kind of unclean idolatry, and I bind it in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the spirit of fear. I take authority over the spirit of inadequacy. I take authority over the spirit of condemnation. I decree that there will be a release now in the name of Jesus. Oh, that which I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and that which I loose in the earth is loosed in the heavens. I decree that there will be a release of the anointing in the realm of the spirit. God, that your people will not be bound by the transgressions of previous generations. God, you said that even to the fourth generation under the old covenant, that the sins of the father would be visited to that fourth generation. You declared that there would be no Moabite who could come into the house of the faithful for at least 10 generations. But Ruth rose up and she broke that curse, and she declared to Naomi, she said, listen, your God shall be my God and your people shall be my people. God, I decree now that whatever curses and whatever spiritual dysfunction, whatever spiritual legacies have negatively impacted your people from previous family members, I decree that that bondage is broken now. And I decree that there will be a liberty and a deliverance of the Holy Spirit. God, even those things that we were not aware of, God, relatives who dabbled in the occult, those who walked in mysticism, and even those who dabbled in spiritualism, God, I decree that there will be a breaking of those curses, that there will be a binding of unclean spiritual influences. I also come against territorial spirits that control areas and that cause people in certain areas to react in certain ways. I come against it now in the name of Jesus. Decree that no matter the territorial spirit, even as you sent Michael and you delivered unto him the message of power that Daniel received, that the prince of the angels that Michael would war with the prince of Grecia and then with the prince of Persia, I decree that there will be a deliverance from the power of territorial and controlling spirits. God, in homes and marriages, that there will be a deliverance now. God, spiritual dysfunction where homes and marriages are unequally yoked. God, where husbands and wives are not walking in the unity of the faith. I come against that spirit. I come against that inequality. God, I decree that there will be a healing and there will be a restoration in homes and families. Satan, you hear my voice. As a prophet of God, I have power over you, and I bind you. I curse you, and the blood of Jesus Christ is against you now. And I decree that there will be a breaking of spiritual influences. There will be a destruction of spiritual strongholds in the name of Jesus, that the actions of previous generations will not be allowed to keep us in spiritual bondage. I come against every unclean witchcraft, idolatrous influence, and I decree that there is deliverance now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I decree that that deliverance is complete and that the glory of your anointing is setting our spirits free. For your word says, he whom the Son makes free, surely he is free indeed. And now we give you the glory. for spiritual legacies, for spiritual legacies being broken, for spiritual curses being broken. And now, Lord, I lift up to you even emotional legacies. God, some of us come from families where dysfunction is the norm. We come from families where arguing and lack of communication is standard procedure. But in the name that is above every name, I bind those spirits and I bind those influences. I decree to your people now that patterns of dysfunction, patterns of sexual dysfunction, even some have been molested as children and they've grown up with a distorted view of sexuality. They've grown up lacking trust. I come against those strongholds now and I decree that those emotional legacies will not carry to the next generation and that your people are being healed and delivered now. God, I give you the glory and I give you the praise that even now there is a release coming, even of hurtful memories, of tragic incidences that have been seared in the memory. Oh, your word says you make all things new, and I decree now that there will be a release, that there will be a cleansing of the memory, that the hurt and the pain and the tragedy of those moments will be washed away by the soothing balm of Gilead. For does your word say that there is a balm in Gilead for the healing, for the breach of your people? And I decree that release now in the name of Jesus, that every social and emotional legacy will be broken. I come against patterns of dependency, drug addiction, those that are bound by alcohol, those that are bound by gambling, those that are bound by pornography and sexual perversion. I decree there is a deliverance. I decree that there is a release now, that the bondage is broken. Oh, your word declares that the yoke of bondage is destroyed because of the anointing. I give you the praise and I give you the glory that emotional legacies are being broken, that even now the freedom of your spirit, the glory of your anointing is breaking anxiety. It's breaking mindsets that have kept us in bondage. And I decree now that the majesty of your glory, that your power, that your anointing will surround us and flood our lives. Lord, I thank you that from generation to generation, your word is new, your word is fresh, and your tender mercies are fresh and new every morning. And I decree that the future generations, there shall be blessing. I come against even the emotional and family legacy of poverty and dysfunction in marriage, God, where there have been numerous marriages. I decree that that curse and that cycle is broken. I come against all dependencies, even to prescription medication. I come against it now. And I decree that there will be a deliverance, and I decree that there will be a liberty. God, some of us grew up in homes and families where people cursed and argued, and there was never any affection, and now we've grown up with sexual problems, sexual frustrations, and weren't able to express ourselves sexually, even in our marriages, even with our spouse, because of that legacy that has been handed down emotionally. But I decree that this shall be a day of healing, that this shall be a day of deliverance, that this shall be a day of breakthrough, that the power of the enemy is broken now. God, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we just lift your name on high, because we know that the generational blessing is being released to your people now, that the glory of your anointing is touching their lives. God, they will look back as they listen to this again and again, and the anointing that is released now, the glory that is released now. Oh, God, I thank you. They're going to experience it over and over and over again. And I thank you now that even the joy of the Lord, that even the power of your spirit is ministering to them now. And Lord, we lift your name. We magnify you now. And we give you the glory because we know that the work is done in the heavens and it's going to be manifested in the natural. God, we thank you that the bondages are broken. We thank you. Oh, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. And we release that generational blessing. We decree wholeness. We decree abundance. We decree healing. We decree prosperity. We decree gifts and callings shall be manifested in your people, that your name might be glorified, that the kingdom of God might go forth. Oh, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I magnify you now because you are the King of glory. You are the King of glory. And I say that there is none above you. You share your glory with none else. You truly are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the fairest of 10,000. And we give you the glory. We give the praise. And we call it done. Would you just rejoice with me now? Would you bask in that anointing? Just let the wave of glory sweep your soul. Oh, who can compare? There is none like him.
With the beauty of the Lord.
Don't you feel his presence right now? Can't you feel his anointing? Can't you feel that glory? Receive this blessing now, and know that generational blessing are upon you, upon your children, upon your children's children, and as many as the Lord thy God shall call. God bless you. I love you. In the name of Jesus, be blessed is my prayer.
Matthew 8:1-3. And having come down from the mountain, great crowds followed Jesus. And behold, a leper, having come, fell upon his knees and touched the ground with his forehead in an expression of profound reverence before him, saying, Master, in the event that you may be having a heartfelt desire, I know you're able to cleanse me. And having stretched out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I am desiring it with all my heart. Be cleansed at once. And immediately his leprosy was cured by being cleansed away. Healing is not just an afterthought for the Lord. He is desiring to heal you with all his heart. Today, this leper, saying, Lord, I know you can heal me if you want to, but do you really want to? He is wanting to heal you with all his heart. God wants to heal everyone, just as he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, you have said, listen closely to your words, not to let them out of my sight, not for a moment, to keep them within my heart, because they are life when I find them,
yeah, babe,
and health to my whole body.
No, no, I'm off this stuff again.
You still in life?
I'm just turning this on. Somebody
you bring me health and cure.
Yeah. And cure.
And abundance of peace and truth. Is not your word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The word of God is an all-consuming fire that will melt away and turn off. That was not a
problem.
It is a powerful, crushing force to break apart even the toughest and most stubborn sickness. Why are you crying, oh my soul? And why are you quiet within me? Hope in God. For you will yet praise him, who is the health of your countenance and your God. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. He will make an utter end of this sickness. Now this is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me, and if I know that he hears me, whatever I ask, I know that I have the petitions that I've asked of him. I can declare a thing, and it will be established for me, and light will shine on my path. My Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth and in my life and in my body as it is in heaven. I declare that in all respects, I will prosper and be in health, just as my soul prospers. I will not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. Lord, strengthen the hands that hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for my feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Father, you did not spare your own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall you not freely with him give me all things? Lord, if you are with me, who can be against me? You do not change. Therefore, I am not consumed. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm not going to fear because I know you are with me. I'm not dismayed, for I know you're my God and that you will strengthen me. Yes, you will help me and uphold me with the right hand of your righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to my mortal body through his spirit who dwells in me. Lord, you take away all my sickness and will not afflict me with any of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate me. If I diligently heed the voice of the Lord my God and do what is right in his sight, and I give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, you will put none of the diseases on me which were brought on the Egyptians. For you are the Lord who heals me. You will restore health to me and heal all my wounds. You forgive all my iniquities, and you heal all my diseases. My light shall break forth like the morning. My healing shall spring forth speedily. My righteousness shall go before me. The glory of the Lord shall be my rear guard. God, you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. Have you not said, and will you not do? Or have you spoken, and will you not make it good? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not want healing. O Lord, my God, I've cried out to you, and you healed me. Lord, you will strengthen me on my bed of illness. You will sustain me on my sick bed. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Lord, you deliver me out of them all. If I then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more will my heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good things to me because I ask him? Surely you have borne my griefs and carried my sorrows, yet I esteemed you stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But you were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon you, and by your stripes I was healed. Let it be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He himself bore my sins in his body on the tree, that I, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. Because I know your name, I will put my trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken me when I seek you. I will not forget your law, and my heart will keep your commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to me. Because I wait on the Lord, I will renew my strength. I will mount up with wings like eagles. I will run and not be weary, and I will walk and not faint. To those who fear your name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And I shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Lord, you have highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus, I believe. I thank you that all things are possible for me. I have faith in you, my God. Because I have faith, whatever things I ask when I pray, believing, I will receive them. I will not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but I will be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he has promised, he is also able to perform. Lord, you are able. Because I am born of God, I overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, my faith. I am of God and have overcome because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. For it is God who works in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therefore, I submit to you, God. I resist the devil, and he will flee from me. Devil, I command you to go from me in the name of Jesus. I command all sickness and infirmity to go from me in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I abide in you, and your words abide in me. Therefore, I can ask whatever I desire, and it shall be done for me. I hold fast the confession of my hope without wavering, for you have promised, and Lord, you are faithful. Jesus, you said, have faith in God, that I can speak to the mountain and speak to this sickness and say, be removed, be cast into the sea. I do not doubt in my heart, but I believe that the things that I say will be done, and that I will have whatever I say. I bless you, Lord, with all my soul. I forget not any of your benefits. I thank you that you forgive all my iniquities, that you heal all my diseases, that you have redeemed my life from destruction. You crown my life with loving kindness and tender mercies. You satisfy my mouth with every good thing, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus carried my sickness and infirmities, and I cast out all spirits of infirmity that would attach to my body in the name of Jesus. I break all curses of premature death and destruction in the name of Jesus. I command every part of my body to function the way God intended it. My bones are fat because they received the good report of the gospel. And I release the fire of God to burn out any sickness or disease that would operate in my body in the name of Jesus. For the Lord is the strength of my life, and Jesus Christ makes me whole. I am redeemed from sickness and disease. May the Lord Jesus Christ arise over my life with healing in his wings. The blood of Jesus bears witness with my deliverance, my healing, and my salvation. I receive the benefits of the new covenant through the blood of Jesus. I receive healing and health through the blood of Jesus. Jesus resisted unto blood, and his blood gives me the victory. And by his stripes, I was healed. The Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Disease, lung disease, cholera, rheumatic disease, tuberculosis, strep throat, malaria, leprosy, digestive disorders, intestinal disorders, fibrocystic breast disease, childbearing difficulties, toxic shock syndrome, hepatitis, measles, chickenpox, bronchitis, emphysema, osteoporosis, Parkinson's disease, gallbladder disease, influenza, encephalitis, smallpox, dysentery, thrombosis, angina, mumps, hypoglycemia, diabetes, brain and neurological disorders, rabies, rubella, kidney and bladder disease, liver disease, pancreatic disease, lupus, bone and joint disease, plague, whooping cough, endometriosis, progeria, tumors, glandular disorders, Lyme disease, Crohn's disease, hypertension, parasites, cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, mental illness, ulcers, Alzheimer's, heart disease, depression, PMS, malnutrition, malaria, rickets, scurvy, back pain,
That was amazing worship, and we want to thank Shannon and her team.
This house tonight, we're on the Father's will right now, and it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good, but we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands.
Jesus is my Lord. God raised him from the dead. He was my substitute. He is my Savior. Satan has no power over me. Jesus is my Lord. I serve the one whose name is, I am the Lord who heals you. Jesus is the healer. Satan is the oppressor. For Acts 10 and 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus came that I may have life and have it in its fullness. God desires that I prosper and be in health. My God is supplying all I need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. God says in his word in Joel 3 and 10, let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong in the Lord. God says in his word in Isaiah 33 and 24, the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. Therefore, I will not say it. I will say what God has said in his word. By his wounds, I have been healed. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Jesus says in Mark 11 and 23, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, mountain of sickness, be removed from me and be cast into the sea. You have to, because I command it in the authority of Jesus' name. According to Jesus, since I do not doubt in my heart, but I believe those things I say will come to pass, I will have what I say. Therefore, by faith, I will say these confessions. Hebrews 3 and 1 and 4 and 14 say Jesus is the high priest of my confession. So I will only speak words that I desire Jesus to say about me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Therefore, I will speak words of life. Jesus says in John 6 and 63 that his words are life, so I will speak them. Proverbs 18 and 21. When I speak God's word, I am planting good seed in my life. Luke 8 and 11. I will hold fast to the confession of God's word without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I do not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but I am fully convinced that what he has promised, he is also able to perform. I am not weak in faith, so I do not consider my own body above what God has said. I do not put my confidence in flesh. I am not moved by what I feel. I am not moved by what I see. For I walk by faith, not by sight. I am moved only by what I believe. I believe the word of God. Father, your word is truth. I will give attention to God's words. I will incline my ear to his sayings. I will not let them depart from my eyes. I will keep them in my heart. They are life to me, for I have found them, and they are my health, healing, and medicine to all my flesh. Pleasant words are health, healing, and medicine to my bones. God's word of grace builds me up and gives me my inheritance. Jesus says, if I continue in his word, I will know the truth,
and the truth will make me free. I have been called to freedom. Because I am Christ's, I am a child of Abraham. And according to Jesus in Luke 13 and 16, I ought to be loosed from all bondage today because God shows no partiality. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God. I am complete in Jesus, who is the head of all rule and authority. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in me, and I am not my own. I am bought at a price, so I will glorify God in my body and in my spirit. I present my body to God as a living sacrifice. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, no sickness, illness, virus, or disease can stay in my body. Every disease, germ, and virus that touches my body dies instantly. Every cell, organ, member, and system of my body functions perfectly, and I forbid any malfunction in the supreme authority of the name of Jesus. I am a believer. All things are possible to me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is the strength of my life. I am strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My Father has made me able to be a partaker of my inheritance. He has delivered me from the authority of darkness and has translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom I have my redemption through his blood. I am an overcomer, and I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am submitted to God by being submitted to his word, and the devil flees from me because I resist him and the supreme authority of the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. There shall nothing evil happen to me, neither shall any plague or sickness come near me. Jesus gave me authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt me. I do not return evil for evil, but on the contrary, blessings, that I may obtain a blessing. I forgive others freely as God has forgiven me. I don't hold anything against anyone. I refrain my tongue from evil. I turn away from evil and do good. I seek peace and pursue it. So I will love life and see good days. I have a merry heart, and that does me good like medicine. I have cast all my cares on the Lord, for he cares for me. I refuse to worry about anything. I serve the Lord my God, and he blesses my bread and my water, and he has taken sickness away from me. For Jesus himself took my infirmities and bear my sicknesses away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely he has borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Christ, my Passover, was sacrificed for me. So all sickness and death has to pass over me and my household. I am blessed above all people. The Lord has taken away from me all sickness. God sent his word and healed me and delivered me from destruction. The number of my days God will fulfill. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and
Mm-hmm.